Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where sales leaders teach you what's working for them and how you can build it yourself.
This episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast is brought to you by our sales coaching and consulting services. Are you looking to create repeatable, scalable, and predictable revenue? We've helped thousands of companies grow their business with tailored expert advice backed by testing to ensure they establish the best practices that'll work for them. Head over to bit.ly/predictable revenue coaching to learn more. When companies are growing their sales team for the first time, there's a lot of debate around who to add to the team first. Maybe you've got one or two salespeople who are doing pretty well on their own, and now you're looking to introduce a little structure so you can scale. Or maybe it's a sales leader who can come in and kind of corral your sales reps. Maybe it's a senior salesperson that can close deals and try to create some processes. Well, there's a lot of options to choose from, but according to my guest, none of the above were the right answer. I'm your host, Sarah Hicks, and today on the Predictable Revenue Podcast, I'm going to be chatting to an expert about why you should hire a sales trainer instead of a sales manager. She is a sales strategist, consultant, trainer, and founder of the Doyen Agency, a sales agency that works with business owners, companies, and corporations to multiply revenue and awaken the consistent closer within your sales team using the consistent sales method. She helps women learn to play the career game in business to advance their careers and professions. Dr. Nadia Brown, welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you. Dr. Brown, let's start at the very beginning. How do you know whether you need a sales trainer or a sales manager?
That's a great question. I think when you're looking at the size of your team and where your business is, typically a manager isn't there to do the sales. They're managing your team, obviously. And so many of small businesses just aren't at a place where they can just hire all these people, because that's like at least 3 new people coming on board, and sales managers also have salaries that are not small. So it's important to have that sales trainer that's able to come on, support your team, help them get the skills that they need. Not that they don't know how to sell, but they are becoming acclimated to your culture, your environment, and they can also help to really put in the processes and procedures in place to help you grow to that point where you desire or need a manager.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So if I'm a small company looking to scale that sales org right now, how do I know I'm in that place where I should be hiring the sales trainer as the first step?
One of those places is if you're in a small, like for example, one of my clients, small team, I think it was her and maybe 3 or 4 employees. So very small, lean team. But mm-hmm. She was the primary salesperson. She's also the CEO. And so she just got to the point where I need more time and I don't have anyone else yet on my team that can do this. So they brought me in as the sales trainer, and the things that I helped them do was, one, help everyone on that team realize that whether or not you wear the hat, you are part of the sales team. And here are the things that you can do in your day-to-day role to make her job easier as it relates to sales. And so now she's only talking to the most qualified people. She had a team member that took a whole segment of offer that they had, and she's just selling this, not out of, like, she's just doing her thing. But it also helped them realize, like, even in this office that they worked in together, there are people that didn't even realize some of the things that they were selling. So mm-hmm. Now everyone is on the same page. They're clear about who's the best person to work with. Her assistant knows which questions to ask to ensure that the CEO is only talking to the most qualified people. And it just really helped to streamline it. And she didn't need a manager. At this point, I don't even think she's hired a salesperson, maybe, but it's been a couple of years.
Right, there you go. So it's really when you're in that instance where you're kind of early stage, too early to really mm-hmm. scale the whole thing and hire everybody, as you said, can't hire everyone at once, but somebody's wearing too many hats and doesn't quite have the time. And this is kind of that intermediate step that takes you between that like founder-led sales or one salesperson or whatever, and that full-blown team, because there isn't just a direct hop from one to the other.
Right, right.
Okay, cool. So I imagine, for a team, let's imagine it's a team, a couple of sales reps, or maybe 1 or 2 sales reps, and we're hiring in that trainer as that person to kind of figure out the metrics and build some of the processes and stuff. One of the things that I would kind of worry about would be accountability and those sales reps because they got to kind of hold themselves accountable when it's a fractional sales trainer. So how would you set up a couple of sales reps working with a sales trainer for success in that context?
That makes sense. I think one of the mistakes that a lot of business leaders make when they bring on a salesperson is not identifying the KPIs. And so a lot of times, and I've been there, we're just like, as long as you're out closing, all is well. But there's so many other things that salespeople do that we need them to do in our businesses. So getting clear on the KPIs and then figuring out what does accountability really need to look like for the type of salespeople that you have. Is it weekly reports? Is it quick, you know, weekly huddles or monthly huddles where you're just getting the data that you need as the CEO? Most of us don't have time to babysit people or, you know, micromanage. And so it doesn't have to be this overly complicated process, but there is data that we need. There's information that we desire. And I think one of the things that freaks us out as CEOs is when we don't know what's happening, especially if that's something that we used to do. So what is the information that you need? How frequently do you need to do it or see it? And then put in a process so that they share that with you and just make that part of their KPIs. If they're not doing it, then they're not doing a part of their job.
And is there something that you can kind of look for, maybe like a certain type of rep that then you feel is the best first type of rep because of the need for this accountability?
It really, that's a good question. Finding someone that is self-directed and doesn't require a lot of handholding, which honestly, a lot of us need handholding when we're coming into, because we just don't know what we don't know. Like I know how to sell, but I don't know everything yet about how your organization works. So that's why having a trainer also is really important because they can help you identify what are the things that they need to put in a training. Maybe it's a video from you as a CEO, like, hi, welcome here. Like that is part of your training and onboarding. It's also important to then help them identify and get comfortable or become aware of where things go. Like when you first started at a new job, they're like, the ladies' room is this way, right? Like there's just basic things we just did not know. I know in a virtual space it's the same. And so having that outlined, but really looking for those people that are self-starters that don't require a lot of handholding, but also understanding that any new team member, there are just some basic things that they're going to need, including your salespeople and making sure that you create a process because you can record these trainings and they can log in just like any of your sales, the products that you sell. They can log into your Kajabi or whatever, go through the videos. You can actually see their progress. You can create quizzes and things that they send back. Like you can do that to make sure that you know that they're doing and getting the skills that you need them to have in order to be successful in that role. Mm-hmm.
Even if you're not the one, hovering over and making sure every step of the way. Yep. Okay. Let's talk about some of the logistics around having a sales trainer come in, because of course the sales trainer is fractional. That's the beauty of having the sales trainer over a full-time person. How often should that sales trainer be coming in to spend time with the team?
I think it depends on the team. I think in the beginning, they're definitely going to be spending a lot more time. And then also how often are you hiring and bringing on team? Because some of us are growing really fast. Others, it's a little bit slower. So I would say in the beginning, they're probably going to be there a lot more, just making sure everyone is doing what they need to do. Are they going through their trainings, checking in and coaching, listening to some of their sales calls or having those recorded? And then you just may want to have them do monthly check-ins or, you know, whether it's one or two times a month where they're doing coaching calls or people can come and ask questions, or have it set up where people can ask questions via Boxer or some way like that. So it doesn't have to be scheduled. It can be a little more loosely structured. But really just, you know, kind of looking at your company culture and seeing like what makes the most sense for your team.
Okay. And this is maybe the other side of the same coin, but how much time should the sales trainer spend at a time? You know what I mean? Like, because there's definitely, it's easy to get over information overload if it's like, I don't know, an 8-hour session. So what is the kind of, what would be your rule of thumb for that?
I would say give it maybe 4 hours or really just, you know, kind of walk people through, break it into smaller segments. So the rules that we use when we're creating trainings for our clients, and we don't want to do the same because we could all do it, right? Like I could give you a lot of information, but break it out. So they have modules and they have a break and maybe they do an exercise or they get a chance to practice. And in the beginning, it's really going to be trial and error because you have an idea of how you think it should go, but you don't really know until other people start to go through it and they can show you the gaps or where things aren't necessarily that clear. But really creating training that really sets people up for success. If you're doing it live, then you may want to do then like a full day or a half day, give people, especially with sales, it's so one of those tangible, I need to get in there and do it kind of things. Mm-hmm. So there's a training, let's learn a concept, now go do. Or, you know, and that sort of thing is one of the ways I love to, you know, incorporate training for a company.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. What are the very first things that you think a sales trainer should come in and help you tackle?
Ooh. One is helping you identify your learning objectives. Like, what is it that they need to learn in order to be successful? And when we're in it and we're doing it, especially those of us that have done the sales for our companies, and now we're finally, and usually we're like this, like white knuckling it, like, I don't want to let this go, letting it go. Now the trainer has to go through the process of getting all that information and all those nuances out of your head, unless you already have those SOPs. So then really getting clear on those objectives, what are the results and the outcomes that you want to see your sales reps, how you want to see them perform? You know, what are some of those milestones that you have in mind, maybe helping you set better expectations. But, you know, a big piece of that is really just getting clear on those objectives. What is the best way to break down that content so that the learners can absorb that content as quickly as possible so that they can start performing well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what other things are sales trainers like really helpful for? Maybe, yeah. What are the other little things you think that they should tackle as they go?
Sales trainers are also really helpful for giving you feedback because they're in the room and they can come back and be like, so Sarah, you know, yeah. Here's some of the things that I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. A lot of sales trainers are also great coaches. And so being able to then incorporate both the training aspect and even the coaching, like I'm listening to your sales calls, let's talk about, and I can give you some feedback on how you can get better. Those are things that they can take off the CEO's plate so that he or she can know that these are happening, but they're not the ones that are having to do it. And then they can pull together a report and send that back to the business leader. And it's like, okay, here's where we are. Here's some of the gaps. Here's where we, you know, the plan that we have in order to correct those gaps. And again, so that CEO or leader feels really comfortable with what's happening, even though because they keep their fingers out of it.
Yeah. They love to keep their fingers in. They really do. Hard work to pry them
I know.
Off of it.
Like, no, there are other things we need you to do. We have
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about finding the right sales trainer then for your business. How can companies like work out what kind of training they need and who would be the best fit to deliver that kind of training?
It's a really good, great question. I think one, you know, looking at your overall goals, what is it that you want to achieve? Understanding your timeline. And then getting a trainer that's willing to listen, kind of like a good salesperson. They need to be listening and really working collaboratively with you in order to put together the best plan for your company, especially as small business owners. There are just certain things and certain nuances that we don't necessarily operate in the same way, which is a strength of ours versus a larger corporation. However, we definitely need someone that's willing to work with us in getting those things done or in place. Personality. Can we work well together? Can we play well together in the sandbox? That's definitely a big one. Experience. Do they have experience with this, with the different types of salespeople that you need to bring onto your team? Do they only work with people who do business development or closers or is it a mix? So really looking at a lot of those different aspects is going to be important to help you to find the right trainer for your company.
And I know that some companies would kind of, or leaders, whoever's kind of making the decision to hire that sales trainer would have the fear that that sales trainer isn't going to know their business or their product or their solution or whatever in the way that they do. So in your experience as a sales trainer, how is that like not true?
It is true. You know, it is true. And there's actually a blessing in it. Because you're right, I don't know your company the way you know it. I probably never will as a sales trainer. However, I'm also able to see things from a different lens than you do, from a different angle. And so their ability to be able to come in and absorb what they need to absorb about your company, and then to be able to create a training that's going to help translate that information over to new people is important. And part of what makes it a strength for them is because they're in that person's shoes that's coming into the company being new. So they know what questions, they know what things aren't clear. And you're like, duh, don't you see that? And they're like, no, we don't see it. So that's actually a strength that they have, is, you know, being able to come in as that fresh set of eyes and pulling that together to be able to create that training for your team members.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. And then when you're kind of reaching the end of the time that the sales trainer makes sense, when do you know that you're outgrowing them and it is time to pull in that, you know, full-time resource?
I think, you know, one of the things that I like to do personally, I don't know if all trainers do it, is set those milestones. So having some really upfront conversations around, here's some things to look for as to when it might be good to just start bringing all of this in-house. I know that may sound odd because you're like, well, Nadia, aren't you working yourself out of a job? Yes, but that's my role. Like, I don't plan to be here forever. As your company grows, it only makes good business sense for you to now have full-time people that are only focused on your business and really being able to scale. So having those conversations early on and identifying when you get to this certain, maybe a certain amount of volume in terms of leads, we need to start really looking at having more full-time, bringing people in, bringing more of this stuff in-house. Maybe it's a certain revenue goal, you know, whatever that is, but having those conversations and then checking in, all right, Sarah, you know, this quarter we're looking at, based on projections, that you might be Q3 of next year ready to really start considering about hiring and bringing in teams. So we're having those open conversations, and it's not like some big scary secret, like, surprise, it's time for me to go. And you need, like, I don't think that that's fun. So I want to have those conversations as early and as often as possible.
And do you think it's then part of the sales trainer's job to help you figure out exactly what roles and kind of who to bring in to sort of replace the bits that the sales trainer has been doing?
I would definitely think so. And I would hope that as they are in that role, that they've been documenting the things that they're doing to make that process a whole lot easier to transfer.
Absolutely. There's one more question that I thought of a little bit earlier, and I wanted to ask you, oh, let me have a look back at my notes because I'm definitely going to forget it. It was around, oh, I always do this. I'm like, I think of a good one, but I'm so in the zone with you. And then I'm like, oh, it's gone forever. Maybe it'll come back to me in a little bit. Something about, just gone with the wind. That's okay. another question that I had around the sales training piece is around kind of tools and that kind of thing. Is it part of your kind of acumen and part of your role to recommend the tools that people would implement in their organization, all of that stuff?
I would say yes, if they're not already using certain tools. So sometimes companies are already using certain tools that they like, they're comfortable with. I try not to upset the apple cart. Like, if that is how it's going, then let's just roll with it. But if they don't, then definitely making those recommendations, and recommendations that make it more seamless and not more work, because that you can get caught up in the tool that can be a bottom, like it can be forever. So finding tools that make sense, and then also that grow with the team so that they're not having to then switch tools once they are, you know, at a certain size. So making those recommendations as best as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's amazing. Such a good kind of overall picture of the journey of that sales trainer, when you need one and kind of when is the right time to bring one in, what they should be tackling, kind of how to prepare. You know, that was my other question. It just came back to me. If someone's listening right now and they're like, okay, I need a sales trainer, I recognize that I'm at that stage of my business, what are the things that that leader needs to do to prepare for the sales trainer to come in? You mentioned the one piece around KPIs being important, but I'm sure there's other things. What are those things that they need to do to prepare?
Start thinking about the type of salesperson that you need. Like, really take some time to identify what the role, even if you don't know the title, what are the tasks that you would want them to accomplish? Start looking at your own SOPs and identifying any gaps. Some of us have a lot of good intentions, but we're working and it doesn't always get done. So start to identify those types of things. Look at your expectations, even around how quickly you need them to start performing. Because what I find is that a lot of business owners wait until they're already swamped. Now I'm practically drowning and I'm looking for, and that is harder. So the sooner that you can start to have some of those conversations, the better, because you don't want to be in that place where I needed to happen like yesterday. That's a hard role to step into. Looking at the processes and the things that have worked in the company in terms of lead generation, lead qualification, all of those systems and processes, and committing that we're not going to change these if they're working for like 90 days. I've seen where team members come in, they were told this is how we do things, they start and then everything changed. You're like, what just happened?
Yeah.
So, you know, looking at those types of things in preparation. But I think the big one is, how soon do you need, or do you have the bandwidth, not only in time, but also money and revenue in terms of being able to pay your salesperson, for them to have maybe 90 days to really come up to speed to see results.
Got it. Perfect. Well, yeah, that was the last little nugget that I thought we needed in the complete picture. So yeah, awesome. Starting off with, yeah, understanding when you need a sales trainer, how to prepare for them to come in, what you need to help, what you need them to help you tackle, and then kind of continuing through to when you get to that point where you do need those full-time resources and figuring out what those are. So yeah, thank you so much. It was a pleasure having you on the podcast. If You're people welcome. Want to learn more from you, if they want to get in touch with you, where can they do that?
Yes, visit our website at thedoyenagency.com. We have many resources, videos on, you know, what things to consider before you outsource or hire a salesperson. So we want to be that wealth of resources to help you make those best decisions.
Awesome. And we'll certainly include a link to that in the show notes, in the blog post, all of that stuff, so that you guys know where to check it out. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel to check out our weekly podcast episodes, where we share more tips like this, speak with more great speakers like Dr. Nadia Brown. But Dr. Brown, it was such a pleasure having you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was great to be here.
We'll catch you all next time.